Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 109 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. And this time around, the discussion point, well, we're gonna have to talk about the latest policy change from Blizzard, disallowing input broadcasting, or essentially the software infrastructure needed to do multiboxing effectively. So that's a huge one for the gold-making side of the game, obviously. In addition to that, I'll be talking through my week and what's going on with the game. And of course, we got a ton of news about the game as well. So let's just head into it as soon as we can. So we'll start with my week, which is perhaps not the most exciting part, but it's where we'll start. So I'm currently sitting at 17.4 million gold, which is 600,000 gold less than last week. I did spend quite a bit of gold buying Island Expedition gear, mostly. I bought a lot of Island Expedition gear. I had the sales for 1.1 million this week, so that's pretty good. And no BOEs, of course, anymore. Or at least not raid BOEs, which is what I've typically done. But yeah, I spent a lot of gold on the Island Expedition gear. Decided to spend a bit of gold on some of my realms where I had a little bit more, just to like even it out a little bit as we go into Shadowlands. So now I'm fairly liquid, and I have a good bunch of stuff that I expect to go up in value, including both mounts and Island Expedition transmog. So overall, pretty good week. My sales are now starting to get a little bit dominated by the realm where I'm doing crafting. I made a lot of gold on Draenor. I find the market surprisingly easy to make gold in with how high pop the realm is. Mount sales, uncanny combatant gear, bags, those are sort of the main things I sell. Make a lot of gold from crafted mounts. They sell incredibly quickly, and the same for uncanny gear. Just absolutely fantastic markets for me. With the multiboxing removal, I did buy up about 100,000 Tidespear linen, because I think that's one of the things that multiboxers farm through their raw gold farming, as we'll get to. The price has since already gone down on Draenor, so we'll see what it sustains at. Either way, it's just nice to have a stockpile. So yeah, that's it for BFA. In terms of this week, like it's working well. I'm in the swing of things. I have way too much Tidespear linen to scrap, because with the ATV mount recipe in particular, like it sells as fast as I can post it. The same is almost true for Vial of the Sands, which is one I also decided to just stick in the bank to see if this if the multiboxing nerf has an effect on the material markets. If so, I want to post it for a little bit more. We'll just have to see when it comes to that. There's also the possibility that this impacts the Sky Golem price. A single person, like solo gathering, is probably going to be slightly better, and more people might want to do it. Especially once they see the potential herb prices in Shadowlands. But we'll see. Like, I don't think herb farming is not the main thing that multiboxers did, although a lot of people did multibox herb farming as well. So we'll just have to see. It's very hard to say. So let's take a look at Classic. This is going to be a quick look, because I did not do much in Classic in terms of gold making. Still sitting at 8,000 gold. Have about 2,800 gold on the auction house, so very similar to last week. I had just 500 gold in sales. I have not restocked in a long time, as my gold totals attest to. I probably won't do that much anymore. I have more than enough gold for next progress, and next progress is coming up fairly soon. I did spend a lot of gold this week, though, on consumables, because we were planning an AQ40 speedrun. That fell through because we didn't get enough people online, but we'll see if we can have another go at that. But I spent about 600 gold or 700 gold or something on consumables for the speedrun. But yeah, like I have enough gold, I have enough items, I have everything I need for next progress. So it just doesn't feel like that valuable to keep gold making in Classic. It is, after all, coming to an end, and I don't, even if it continues in TBC Classic, I don't expect I'll focus much on that. I think that treading up like an already beaten path is not that interesting, and I'd rather focus on figuring out new things in Shadowlands and in retail. So that's why, like, sort of Classic is for me a little bit coming to an end, and for many people as well. I expect that as soon as Kalthusar is dead, a lot of guilds will start falling apart. Farm raiding is not that interesting. So we'll see. Either way, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the game. And there's so much to talk about this week. Obviously, number one, we now have a launch date for Shadowlands. Well, we had the launch date, like, I think it came out like just after I recorded the last episode, so it's already very old news. But Shadowlands is coming. We like, by the time this is out, the pre-patch event is already live on the servers. It's going live on the 24th of November, the expansion, the pre-patch event coming on the 10th. So of course the pre-patch event, the most interesting thing is how quick the catch-up gearing is. It might kill like uncanny gear. I think that Highborn Compendium should still stay strong, because particularly the Storms one is like best in slot, or close to best in slot. Uncanny gear might die. I expect stuff like cosmetic items like mounts to just continue to do really well all the way up until Shadowlands. At some point, once we get to the close to the end, like, the sale rate for many BFA items is gonna slow down heavily, unless they're actually useful for leveling or in Shadowlands. So that's what we're looking at. Now, of course, the absolutely, or perhaps the, I wouldn't say bigger than the expansion launch, but the second biggest piece of news that came is the Blizzard has banned the use of input broadcasting software. So that's software that takes your input from one game and broadcasts it to other entities of the game, which is, of course, what multiboxers use when they play multiple accounts at the same time. They send keystrokes from one window to the other. And Blizzard is now making that a breach of the terms of service. So they will eventually, not quite yet, but they will start banning people who use IS Boxer and other means of doing that. So that means that multiboxing for farming purposes is essentially illegal. Not illegal, but against the rules now. You can still own multiple accounts. They were very clear on that. And it's still useful to have multiple accounts for like gold making, with having a separate auction house account, or even crafting on your off account. But you can't do multi-box farming, at least not particularly effectively. So that's huge, and of course it's going to be this week's discussion point. Like, this is big. This is big right now, and for all of you will probably have seen huge market shifts on some types of items on your realm. Long-term, the effects will be significant as well. So we'll just save it for the discussion point. Now, with BFA, or with Shadowlands launch on the horizon, of course Blizzard decided to just double down on Undead or Death Realm things. So Naxxramas Phase 6 is coming pretty much at the same time. Very surprising timing right there. Phase 6 is coming on the 1st of December, with Naxxramas opening on the 3rd, which is just like 5 days ahead before the normal and heroic versions of Castle Nathria and Shadowlands open. So that's quite the surprising move, but it is what it is. I expect many Naxx-related items will already have spiked, a little bit. But my experience from Encourage is that people aren't good at planning ahead. So there's still time to buy a lot of the materials. These are going to be materials needed for the next Ramas attunement, materials needed for the crafted frost resistance gear, materials needed for the tier 3 set turn-ins, as well as consumables, with the main ones being greater shadow protection potions and greater frost protection potions that are the ones that did not already have significant demand. So definitely check out all of these items and consider buying them either just for your own use, because they will probably be more expensive later on, or to invest to sell them. Of course, once after Nax, we could see a crash as players leave. Very hard to say how the price is going to behave a week or two or three after Nax. So you'll just have to make up your own mind with how you see that market progressing. All right, so time for the big one, the discussion point, and we are going to talk about multiboxing. As I said, key broadcasting software is now a bannable offense, which means that multiboxing is dead. Now, I've never talked much about my personal views on multiboxing. It's generally a hyper-contentious area. People get really mad at each other when it comes to multiboxing. And I can understand that very well, because multiboxing is insanely powerful. I know this. I have two accounts. I'm like the lowest level of multiboxer. And it's huge. It's extremely useful. I can do more than someone who just has one account in the same amount of time. There's no denying that. And the same holds true for multibox farming, using much, much larger teams than I'm running, or using actual multibox teams and using IS Boxer. They have access to capabilities that someone who just has one account doesn't have. There's not a level playing field between multiboxers and non-multiboxers. Which is why I ultimately think it's probably a good change, because I think it's better if there's a more level playing field. I think it's better that material generation is more spread out, that the people who generate the top farmer, if he's generating 30% of the materials, and that's bad, he should not be generating too large a share of the materials or gold being generated in the game. It's better if that's more spread out to more of a general player population. That's my personal opinion. So yeah, multiboxing is dead, and yeah, I think it's a good change. I understand why Blizzard did it. There will definitely be some negative effects short term, as current supply and demand. Rather, current prices are based on supply and demand, where the supply is partially generated by multiboxers. Now, as we won't have multiboxer, that means that supply is going to go down and prices will go up on many, many, many items. Or not perhaps many, many items, but prices will go up on certain items. And that's going to be negative if you need to buy those items, of course. So that's what we need to focus on. Like, what did multiboxers do? Because that's perhaps the most interesting for many of you. Like, how is this going to impact gold making, the community, the economy? And to do that, you need to know what multiboxers did. How were they farming, the people who used multiboxing for gold farming? Now, there are many things you can farm with a multiboxing team. Of course, you can use multiboxing to farm herbs or mining. Every node can be tapped 10 times, so a 10-man team is typically the go-to setup for farming herbs or mining. Then you have other methods that focus on killing mobs, where you typically want to generate raw gold, you want to generate cloth, and the BFA BOE mounts, which are something I've had a lot of luck selling lately personally. The most popular one out of all of this was the one in Nazmir, where you could literally stand completely still and just hit the macro to do your abilities, and then hit another macro to throw your lootarang and loot. And you could do that on a huge amount of accounts. This one was the big one. There are multiboxers who was doing this with 60 plus accounts, the same spot in Nazmir. They would just farm raw gold, buy their tokens, and then keep farming. And then after they've bought their tokens, if you have 60 accounts, you're looking at something like 500,000 gold an hour in completely riskless raw gold. So that's pretty insane. So this is as far as I gather, this seems to be like what the big multiboxers have been doing. I don't know the balance between these types of multiboxers and multiboxers who do mining and herbalism, for instance. So it's hard to say like what the effect are. I've checked a little bit. And a lot of the items that are farmed in these like mob killing multiboxers seem to have risen in price on my realm. But the regional prices have not changed dramatically at all on EU so far. But it's going to be very exciting to and interesting to follow this as we go on. Like the items that are mostly affected is going to be tight spare linen and the other cloth types and the BFA World Drop mounts, particularly the Nasmir mount, which is already went up like four to five times the original price on Draenor. So we'll see what how this continues. As I've said in the past, like predicting the future is incredibly hard, so I try not to do it too much. But there will be short term, like there will be many items that are farmed, particularly by if there's a multiboxer on your realm that's not farming that item anymore. They where you will see just supply shocks, and where the price is going to go up significantly. Longer term, I think there's something that a lot of people overlooked initially, which is the fact that a lot of people did these raw gold farms. They pumped a lot of gold into the economy. Some of the people, I think there's a guy who had 120 accounts doing the Nasmir standstill farm. That's 120 tokens a month. So that's like a 2-3 million gold that he pumped into other players' hands every month. Might even be more. It depends on the realm, but or on the region. But the fact is that these people generated a lot of raw gold, and they pumped a lot of it into the economy through the tokens and people, essentially casuals, people who don't have a lot of playtime buying gold. There are some people in my guild, for instance, who do this. They're just like, yeah, I'm a grown-ass man. I don't have time to farm gold. I'll just buy a token and buy my consumables. I can afford it. I have the disposable income. No biggie. That's not me, but it is what it is. And this pumped a lot of gold into the economy. Now, I have no idea how this related to, for instance, the gold being generated by quests or killing mobs or emissary caches. But I think it's likely that this is going to have a significant effect. I think we'll see token prices go down. And I think we might even see a full-on deflation of the economy, which would lead to... which could potentially lead to a decrease in prices on many like long-term value items, like TCG battle pets, cosmetics, things that should typically keep their value regardless of which expansion you're in. Now, longer term, if we're looking at Shadowlands, I'm not sure if there will be an effect. Like, Shadowlands will be different. It's a new expansion. There's no price equilibrium yet anyway. So we won't see any changes, but we will see a different expansion from BFA. We'll see differences in farming methods and their effectiveness. As long as Blizzard scales supply and demand, for supply for like the materials with herbs and ore in particular, as long as you generate enough relative to how many like potions you drink per week, then it's going to be fine. And Blizzard has scaled this in the past. They've fixed this in the past. In Legion, potions took a little too many herbs and they eventually nerfed it, so potions would be cheaper. So they've done this in the past. So I don't think that there's going to be an issue in Shadowlands with affording your consumables. Worst things, you just pick up herbalism and go farm your herbs, which is what many people do in Classic. It works. And now that there aren't people doing this with multiboxing, who can then essentially be happy with a much lower gold per hour per single character because they're playing 10 characters at the same time. You won't be competing with them for farming nodes. You won't be competing with them for sales. You'll be competing with other people who can generate roughly the same amount of materials per hour as you can. So in that sense, it's going to be more of a level playing field. Of course, there's the wild card of the bots, which have a huge impact on this economy. Like, gathering is prime time for bots because it's extremely easy. You just have to find the node and click it. That's probably never going to change. There are always going to be people trying to bot gathering and dumping large quantities of stuff onto the auction house. But overall, like, I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of consumable prices or anything in Shadowlands. It does, of course, depend a little bit on raw gold generation, how that happens through daily gameplay in Shadowlands and how much gold you generate. But for stuff that you trade between players, like, if you can't sell, if the herbs are too expensive and only the richest 10% can afford them, and you just keep farming herbs, then eventually the price will go down to where more people can afford it. And I'm sure Blizzard will, of course, you could argue that Blizzard is going to optimize for token sales, but they're also going to optimize for casual players to make sure that they can generate some of the resources they need. And there's always going to be the option of just picking herbalism and go pick flowers, and you'll get your consumables. Overall, it's going to be very interesting to see how Shadowlands plays out without multiboxing. Multiboxing has really taken off over BFA's lifetime and become much more prevalent. It used to be like people doing it for world PvP or doing dungeons or whatever. But then with the multi-tapping of mobs and nodes that they eventually introduced, then multiboxing for gold just started taking off. And I think it's a good change that they removed that part of the game. I think it's better if people are on a more level playing field in general. And you could certainly make the argument that multiboxing is pay to win. You could also make the argument that you can just get there by earning gold. And you can, like, if I wanted to, I could easily afford a multibox team just of the amount of gold I've made with the first one account and then buying my second account with gold and paying for it with gold the entire way. So it's possible to go that route. But it requires either a lot of time getting good at gold making or an initial investment in real life money. Either way, I think it's just more healthy for the game to be optimized for solo gameplay and to be where resource generation is scaled for solo gameplay and not for multiboxing. Looking forward to Shadowlands, and it will be interesting. If you have some thoughts on multiboxing, or disagree with me or agree with me, or feel that there's something I left out, please let me know. I'd love to actually discuss this with someone and not just talk about it here by myself. But that is going to be the end of this week's episode, so I hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you want to read about gold making, you can do so at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And with a final thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.